Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
The recent economic survey conducted by the Monetary Authority of Singapore has been released. And based on the number of private economists they spoke to, a lot of the respondents, or an average, said that they expect the country's economy, or GDP, to actually grow by about 6.5%. Now, that's considerably more optimistic than the previous survey, and also above the forecast by the Ministry of Trade and Industry as well. Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Barnab Sagan, who is an economist at UOB and also one of the survey respondents for the MAS's economic survey, to share with us what he thinks of the results of the survey and how this actually might inform the economic outlook for Singapore moving forward. Barnabas, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these uncertain times. And welcome to the show, sir. Happy Monday and good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
All right. So, Barnabas, you know, as we mentioned, you yourself are a respondent to the survey that's conducted periodically by the MAS. And on average, your peers do believe that the country's economy will grow by about 6.5%. I do want to ask you, though, how does this stack up to your response to the survey and your outlook for, and UOB's outlook at least, for growth? Is this a bit more optimistic than what you guys are expecting, or more or less in line with the outlook, at least from UOB?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the question. Our forecast for Singapore's GDP growth for 2021 is at 5.5%, which is just slightly below the median forecast of 6.5%. But I think what's important to note is that this is not a discouraging print. In fact, 5.5% is at the top end of the 4-6% forecast range that is released by the MTI. What we do see is that Singapore's rosy economic backdrop seen year to date is a unique scenario when compared to its neighbors. You know, we did see that GDP growth in the first quarter has been revised to 1.3%. But I think beyond numbers, it is important to note that Singapore commands one of the highest percentages of population that is fully vaccinated against COVID-19 across Asia. If I could put a number to that, it's at 30%, over 30% as of June 2021. And this basically suggests that that Singapore is poised to move on from the snares of the pandemic. And of course, we also do see that the low base effect in 2020 will also help as well, considering that we did see a 5.4% fall in GDP in the last year, given the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mm-hmm. You know, Barnabas, when we take into account, and I do want to focus on the Phase 2 heightened alert measures that were instituted in the middle of last month. First, before we get into the full year outlook once again, of course, there are big questions as to how this might impact, say, the second quarter GDP print of Singapore. But I think one of the bigger questions has been raised because of the Phase 2 heightened alert and the social restrictions, also its impact on labor movement and the availability that is of skilled labor. You know, a number of sectors, and also reflected in the survey, also construction comes to mind, for instance, might actually continue to be hampered or even more hampered by these social restrictions and also this heightened awareness, at least, of how quickly these new variants might spread. How are you taking all of this into account specifically for, and which sectors do you think might actually feel the pinch more if this labor skill shortage and these impediments of access to good labor supply, at least, might be felt for the unforeseeable future?
Oh, well, that's a very big question, JP. But I think, importantly, in the nutshell, the Phase 2 heightened alert, or even Phase 2 itself, what we do see is that it will have little impact on Singapore's GDP, you know, for the year ahead. And this is really due to two reasons. I think, first and foremost, unlike circuit breaker, you know, that we've seen in 2020, there has been no restrictions on business operations, you know, except for the closure of gyms and dining services. We do know that, you know, and really the Phase 2 and the Phase 2 heightened alert has ended, you know, and we are already on the back of a Phase 3 heightened alert, which is a phased relaxation, you know. So mm-hmm. at least from a current standpoint right now, we are seeing a relaxation, you know, of social restriction measures, not tightening, but relaxation. And this is something that not every Asian country's or economy is going through right now as we speak. You know, so that being said, if we have to shift our lenses to labor, I think importantly, Singapore's government's decision, you know, to actually extend the job support scheme or the JSS would likely be one of the key factors that cushion the supposed weakness that comes from the phase two heightened alert. Uh-huh. What we do see is that the labor market has really been improving, you know, since the start of the pandemic to date, you know, and we do look for the unemployment rate to fall to 2.6%, hopefully by the end of 2021. And this basically means that that not only will the macro numbers recover, but at least from the layman standpoint, from the job market standpoint, it will likely tighten further from now to the end of the year.
Interesting. We're talking to Barnes Gunn, economist at UOB here on Money FM 89.3 to talk about the recent survey, at least economic survey conducted by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. And of course, one of the big hot topics for markets, and we have to talk about this as well, Barnabas, is inflation. Now, consumer price index, alt items inflation based on the survey is expected to moderate, but the MAS actually thinks it will pick up. Why do you think there's been a difference in sentiment? What are your thoughts? And also, the expectation of inflation, though, is not as rampant as, say, some of the inflationary expectations in other countries. Why do you think, what makes Singapore so different when you take that into account as well?
Oh, excellent question. There are two parts to my answers to your question. I think first and more pertinent is, in fact, that the latest estimates by the officials actually penciled headline inflation at the ratio of 0.5% and 1.5%. No, it's a range, you know, and the median forecast, from what I understand by the professional survey, forecaster survey is at 1.4%. So it's in line, actually, albeit it's at the upper end of the range, but still within the range at 1.4%, according to the MAS latest forecaster survey. But I think this is also against our headline, our outlook for headline and core inflation to average at 1%. You know, for 2021, mm-hmm. which is also close to the survey results as well. I think the general idea, you know, JP, if I like to cut my answer a little bit more simple, is that inflation will likely pick up in 2021, but it's important to note that it's not at a rate that is disconcerting from a policy standpoint. You know, why do I say this? It's simply because that Singapore's inflation averaged merely 1.7% in the 10-year period between 2010 and 2019. Which means that an inflation rate at below 2%, but what we are seeing right now, is not something to be concerned about. You know, but of course we have to pay close attention to oil prices, you know, which has rallied quite significantly, you know, in recent weeks. And of course, higher oil prices will have a direct impact, especially on petrol costs and electricity and gas tariffs for households. As to your question as to how would Singapore's inflation rate play out as compared to the other countries, I think I would like to bring the discussion into Singapore's unique monetary policy framework, which is the nominal effective exchange rate system. You know, and that by itself basically has somewhat of inflation cushioning impact, simply because of the fact that Singapore is very import reliant, and a good part, you know, of Singapore's inflation is largely driven by imported inflation. And with the near model, the exchange rate model that Singapore policymakers adopt, that basically means that they have the pull strings, you know, for the lack of a better word, to try, you know, to adjust the currencies, and that by itself would also cushion import inflation into Singapore, you know, and that is different from other countries, you know, that has rate targeting monetary policy framework instead of the foreign exchange framework.
Interesting. So, Barnabas, let's turn to financial indicators for now. And it seems that the trend, at least, of the private participants being a little bit more optimistic than the government continues here. There's a lot of optimism, actually, when you look at corporate profitability expectations. 50% of them said there are going to be higher corporate profits. Private residential property, this is a trend we've actually tracked over the last couple of months, even, that the prices and demand has remained rather strong. And what's the word on this? Why do you think that optimism, at least on the private sector side, seems to be picking up for the most part, at least in terms of profitability and even in the property sector? Do you have any thoughts on this, sir?
Indeed. Well, I think from the start of our discussion, JP, until now, I think we have understood that the forecaster survey, the MAS professional forecaster survey, as well as the general idea of the economy, is somewhat optimistic. You know, and I think in a nutshell, the year 2021 is a year of consolidation, especially from the horrors of COVID-19. But I think more importantly, it's likely to be a year of hope. and economic growth for the year ahead. And with 2020, you know, just at our rear view mirror, it is important to note that at this juncture, we know more today about the pandemic than what we think we knew in 2020. You know, I think the world has come a long way, you know, with vaccination, confidence in the global trade story and whatnot. You know, so as such, it's understandable that there is a lot of optimism and with it, a view that the year 2021 will likely be a better year compared to what we've experienced in 2020. You know, so that would mean that that would also explain why the corporate profitability view is much more optimistic. People do look at possibly higher private residential property prices, you know, for the year 2021 and whatnot. You know, but I think in the issue of corporate bonds, if I may want to bring this issue sure. forward, you know, I think it is important to note that that market participants still eye very closely on what the U.S. Federal Reserve may announce in upcoming meetings, you know, and especially on the timing of the discussion of any tapering of its asset purchase program. It is something that's very, very dear to me, especially, you know, but I think what at least the word on the street, you know, is that the FOMC or the Federal Reserve will likely keep its benchmark rate unchanged, at least for the year ahead in 2021, if not 2022. And this basically suggests, you know, and it's not surprising that bonds may actually stay static for the year ahead.
It seems that there's been a lot of reasons to be hopeful with regards to the Singaporean economy. But I do want to point out also that it's been often echoed by a lot of economists and that, you know, this is still a very externally driven economy. And as we've seen, you know, a lot of the cross-border flows have been impacted. We look at labor flows, for instance, from Malaysia coming into Singapore. That's been curtailed significantly. Travel, aviation, for instance, these sectors, tourism, pretty much put on ice for the time being. My question is, despite the rosy prognosis, how reliant is the economic recovery of Singapore going to be on a lot of these external factors that frankly not have their control over? How reliant are we going to be on some of these external flows coming back into normalcy?
Excellent question. In order to answer your question, I will ask a question, you know, at least to you or to
sure.
the general people who actually basically...
Fire away, sir.
Yeah. So the question I will ask is, do you believe that COVID-19 will one day be well controlled in the years to come, you know, 2022, 2023 and beyond? And I think the quick answer is that we will likely normalize and basically live with somewhat of an endemic COVID-19, you know. And if we are going to stay that way from now to 2 to 3 years down the road, it is important to note that the current strength that we are seeing right now in the manufacturing sector, it's a consolation, you know, and with years to come, with time, you know, when there is a normalization of, you know, travel flows, labor flows and stuff like that, you know, yes, it's beyond control, at least from the policy standpoint, you know, but I think importantly, you know, when we reach that stage of normalcy, you know, in the years to come, that would mean that not only has manufacturing recovered, you know, even though COVID-19 is around, but when COVID-19 is over, hopefully, in the years to come, that would mean that the other sectors that has been very much dragged by COVID-19 will also recover, you know, into the years to come. But I think the issue and the keyword that I would like to introduce really is the K-shaped recovery. It's not only across countries, but within a particular country as well, like Singapore, you know, across industries. The manufacturing has been doing well, but the services-oriented industries, especially the hospitality ones, are not performing as well as what it has been, you know. But with time to come, I believe it is going to be really an optimistic scenario.
Okay. Barnabas Gan, economist for the OB. Thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to share with us your thoughts on the recent economic survey conducted by the Monetary Authority of Singapore and the outlook for Singapore's economy as we head into the second half. As always, Barnabas, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times. We look forward to next time we can have you back on the show. Meanwhile, happy Monday, sir.
Thank you so much, JP.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.